Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you that we can be strong in Christ. And we know there's no other way. For in due time, when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And so, God, we thank you that we can have strength in you. And Lord, for that I look to you now, and I ask for the filling of your Spirit once again to minister the word to your church, dear God. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. Pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. I thank you for the word that's gone forth already in this Sunday school hour for the children and the adults as well. And Father, might we be helped in our understanding by your Spirit. Might we be moved and challenged to align our lives with the Word of God and with those things that please you, dear God. And might we be willing to, even as we sang, let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. And might we set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And dear God, in doing that, we'll have a right focus. We'll be able to be all that you'd want us to be here and love even our families and friends and neighbors and co-workers in the world as you'd want us to. So Father, help us in these things. And I pray that you would ground our hearts in the truth. Help us to learn and stand firmly in the Word of God, for the world is growing colder, and even many that call themselves Christians are turning away from the truth of your Word. Oh God, we want to be found faithful, and I pray you'd help us to be faithful to this blessed book. And Lord, we thank you for the lives that were given, that we could have a Bible, for the blood that was spilled, that we could have the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for that. And help us to stand firmly upon it and proclaim it and to be changed by it. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going down through a familiar portion of Scripture, I hope, putting on the armor of God, and we need to do that. It's something that we need to do every day, getting ready for the battle that is ahead of us. Sin always lieth at the door, as Genesis chapter 3 says. Actually, Genesis a little beyond chapter 3. Sin always lies at the door. It's always ready, the devil to trip us up, and God wants us to walk with him. And glorify his name in that. So we're going to be looking at the armor for the next few weeks. And this morning we see, first of all, number one, we see the belt of truth we are put on. That's what the girdle was in the Bible times. It was a belt that they would put on. And it pretty much secured everything, their weaponry. And it and many times they may have some flowing garments, and it would secure those so that they would not be in their way, tripping them up should they be in battle, should they need to run. And it was for that. And so we are told to stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And first of all, we see, number one, that truth is for our footing in the fight. Truth is for our footing in the fight. In Psalm chapter 11, And verse 3, we would read, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you're building a building and your foundation is not good, your building is done. There's nothing more that you can do that will stand. You don't have a foundation that stands, nothing stands. But I thank God that we have a word that stands. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, amen? We have a firm foundation, and it's not moving. Matter of fact, it'll be here when this world has passed away, folks. The word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but my word shall not pass away. And I'm thankful for that firm foundation. Deuteronomy 32:4 puts it beautifully. He is the rock. There's a foundation. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. And he is that just and right God. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth incarnate. In John 18, Pilate is questioning him. You know, why he would not want to speak to him. After all, Pilate is the one who could let him free. Jesus tells him who he is, and Pilate says in John 18:37, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Unto the truth. I like that. I think about John 14:1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it weren't true, I would have told you that it wasn't true. But it's true, amen? It is true. There is a heaven. There is a hell. These are truths that are more sure than the ground we're standing on right now. These truths are the Word of God. And we stand on it. We have a firm footing in the truth of the Word of God. The church is to be the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul wants to come and see Timothy. He says, but if I tarry long, I write these things, he says, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We are the ones to be holding that truth firm and sending it forth. The truth of the Word of God. My wife does a lot of driving over the path and such. So I have to get good tires for her car because sometimes it's icy, slippery. Which brings you to the age-old argument, at least since we've had studded tires. Which is better, studless tires or studded tires? Well, you can look it up and do your research you want, but I'm convinced as far as which one's better. When you read on that issue, you'll find things like this. The new technology makes the studless tires as good as, you'll find phraseology like that, the studded tires on snow and such. And by the way, the studded tires, they're more noisy on the dry pavement. And they tear up the pavement. When you find negatives about studded tires, it's that they're more noisy and they tear up the pavement. Can I tell you something? If it keeps my wife safer, I don't care about that. I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Yeah. If it keeps my wife safer, I'm not real concerned about the pavement. Because as you read more about studded tires versus the new technology and the rubbers they have, they'll say, yeah, it's not about the same. But, when you get down to packed snow and ice, to ice or packed snow that's packed hard, frankly, nothing beats the studded tire. There's nothing like the metal of the studs that cut into the ice and the packed snow and give you some traction on that otherwise glass-like surface. The other tires just don't match it. And they get that grip on that solid foundation. Now I think about that studded tires and make an illustration here of where we're at today. We use winter tires what? When the weather grows cold and the road gets slippery, you need to be able to grip onto the firm foundation of the road. Folks, we are living in a spiritual day when the weather has gotten cold and the road is growing slippery, isn't it? The Bible tells us that the love of many shall wax, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're in a cold age, aren't we? By the way, we're in a slippery age, where churches are slipping away from the Word of God, and Christians are. Hebrews 2:1 tells us this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, what? We should let them slip. We let them slip away. I want some firm traction going forward in this stormy weather we're in, folks. And I want to be firmly founded on the Word of God. I don't want something that just goes along the surface like the newer tires do on the ice. I want something that digs down into it, amen? I don't want just a surface knowledge of the Word of God. I want to dig down into it and know it, amen? I want to know this firm, have a good grip on this firm foundation so that we can go forward through this world that we live in. And this is that very truth that we trust in and that will take us forward even in an age like this. I think of some ministries who have slipped regarding the foundation of the Word of God. Some Christian ministries out there have decided, you know, it's not really worth arguing about evolution, about Genesis 1. Because you can still get the gospel out, and there's so much dispute over that. Just don't make that an issue. Do you understand that the doctrines that we hold dear are founded in Genesis? If we take lightly Genesis, what? We are saying, don't worry about the foundations. They're not important. They are important. See, there are some Christian ministries who have said, that's not important. You can be on the other side of that. It doesn't matter. These people still get saved. Well, now they're telling our boys and girls, they're telling little boys, you might not be a boy, you might be a girl. They're telling little girls, you might not be a girl, you might be a boy. They're telling them, you might be something else. After all, where do you get that there's just male and female? Now those very ministries that have made light of this book can't go back to Genesis and say, in the beginning God made them male and female, because they said about the issue of evolution, it's not really that important. They destroyed their own foundation and now they can't go back to it because they have taken it lightly. Folks, we got to believe the whole book, amen? Right. This is the truth. And it doesn't matter if less and less and less people believe it as we go forward, this still is the truth. And it's where we find the fullness of life in following this word of God. And we as a church are to keep it. It's interesting, the Bible talks about all faiths and philosophies of life, contrary to the word of God, are called lies in the Bible. You'll find that often. Some of the verses that teach that. Revelation, of course, tells us some about heaven and things to come. And Revelation 21:27, talking about that new city. And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. For without, talks about that new city in Revelation 22:15, for without that, outside that heavenly city, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's all outside of heaven. What do you mean, love and maketh a lie? What is that saying? What's just saying this? You choose a lie over the truth. You see, when you hear the gospel, you are presented with a choice. And you will do that which you like to do. You will do that which pleases you. You will either be pleased to believe the gospel, or you will be pleased to reject the gospel. You have chosen the love of whatever lie you already believed to reject the gospel. You have chosen a lie over the truth. You have loved a lie, someone who makes in the making of a lie, rather than the truth, in a sense. You don't reject the gospel against your will. You choose to do that. You don't receive it against your will. You choose to do that. In that sense, you're showing a love. I want this. And that's what the Bible teaches. Calls those, all of the other things are lies. We met someone out in visitation yesterday, and there's all kinds of lies out there. They'd sent their kids to the JWs. They sent them somewhere else, to the Mormons, and we invited them here. I wish they were here this morning. But you know what? All of that other stuff outside of this is just lies. And you can't build upon lies, folks. Try building a marriage upon lies. You can't do it. You just can't build upon lies. Why? Because the devil's the father of that. John 8:44, Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." They were about to murder Jesus from the manward perspective. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Did you get that? Is Catholicism true? Nope, it's a lie. Then who's the father of it? The devil. Is Mormonism true? Nope, it's a lie. You say, "Pastor, do you know that you're on the web saying this?" I know, it's okay. Did you know that Mormonism is not according to this Bible, so it's a lie? And if it's a lie, you know who the father of it is? The devil. That's right. I'm sorry, the Bible is just that clear. If it's not, doesn't line up, I'm not sorry, if it doesn't line up with the Bible is true and all else is lies. And I'm thankful that someone loved God enough to go out one day and present the truth to me and show me the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul had taught that church many of the deep doctrines of the Bible in just the 3 weeks that he was there. And he wrote to him about the Antichrist and the last days and such. And he says when those last days come, that he says that he'll come deceiving, the Antichrist will come deceiving people. Verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he'll come deceiving them with all deceivableness. By the way, what's that? A lie.
all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received what? Not the love of what? The love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, what is the truth? Well, here's the truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's the truth. Anything added to that or taken away from that is a lie. And the Bible says, because they received not the love of the truth, they heard the truth and said, no, thank you. We believe this is the truth, some lie. They chose to believe some lie rather than the truth. And because they received not love of the truth, this deception comes. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a what? Lie. Because anything doesn't matter what they believe, anything outside the truth is a lie. That they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But Paul writes to them, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Spirit works and you must believe. And when you believe the truth, then you get saved. Some people say, well, lost people can't believe. Oh, really? It seems to me they can believe too much. Isn't belief something that's innate in us? What is Bible belief? It's trust. That's what it is. It's trust. What do we have to teach our children? Not to be too trusting in some people, right? Now, well, they learn, it's innate, they learn to trust their parents. There are children that trust parents that are not trustworthy. And yet they what? They believe in them. They trust them. See, what needs to happen is we need to put our faith in one who is trustworthy, amen? And that same childlike faith put in one who is trustworthy becomes holy, not because of the faith, because of the one they trusted in. Amen? Because they trusted in the Holy One. And that's the trust that holds because of the Holy One. Everything else is a lie. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think about Jonah when he was thrown off that ship. Remember all those men? The Bible says they prayed to their gods. And then they found out Jonah was down there taking a little snooze or on the side of the boat there or something. Get up, sleeper. Pray to your God. We're dying. And Jonah says, we got to find out whose fault this is. Jonah finally tells them, and it's shown to them it's Jonah's fault because he's running from the true God. And they heard about this God of Israel, and they feared greatly. And they said, what do we do? Jonah said, you're going to have to throw me overboard. They feared the God of Israel so much, and after they knew that Jonah was an Israelite, they didn't want to throw him overboard. They rode and rode and rode and tried to write that thing, couldn't do it. Finally said, okay, we got to do it, but God, you're the one that's making this storm, and he told us to do it. Don't judge us for doing this. And overboard he went. And you know what Jonah prayed in the belly of that whale? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. All those men, doesn't matter what they were worshiping, it wasn't the true God. Doesn't matter what they were lying vanities. And if they had only their lying vanities to trust in, they'd have been dead, folks, in that sea. They forsook their own mercy by crying out to their own false God, whoever he or she was, or it. Didn't matter, because it wasn't the true God, wasn't the truth. All outside of it is vanity and lies. Boy, that's not very politically correct. that there's right and wrong, folks. There's a truth. It's the foundation. Truth is for our footing in the fight.
What happens with your studded tires if you get down to the blacktop and all the blacktop gives way? You're in trouble, aren't you? What if it wasn't done right and it just all crumbles up? If the foundation isn't right, what shall the righteous do? I'm thankful that we have a foundation that's better than blacktop. It doesn't give way. And we got to dig into it firmly and go forward in this day that we live in. Truth is for our footing in the fight. And secondly, we see this morning that truth is for our freedom in the fight. Truth is for our freedom in the fight. Ephesians 6:14 there. Having your loins girt about with truth. Remember we said it's what they gathered their garments together with so they wouldn't get tripped up. So that they could get to their weapons and so they could have freedom to move. Freedom to move. Freedom. You know, history tells us that volunteer armies are far more victorious than mercenary armies. People that, battles that are fought because those who are fighting it believe they're fighting for the right and they volunteer. Those are the victors more often in history than those who are, hey, I want to go fight this nation here. I'll pay you soldiers to come fight with me. Oh, okay. They lose more often. Mercenaries, just paid soldiers, doing it for materialism. No, freedom. When the heart's in it, folks, we're victorious in those battles. Truth is for our freedom in the fight. The African American Civil War Memorial and Museum in Washington, D.C. It commemorates the more than 200,000 soldiers of the U.S. Colored troops who served during the Civil War, of course, 1861 to 1865. The monument features a sculpture by Ed Hamilton known as the Spirit of Freedom. The names of the soldiers who fought in the war are engraved on plaques placed on curved walls behind the sculpture. The memorial and museum serve as a reminder of the courage of those black soldiers. By the end of the Civil War, roughly 179,000 black men served as soldiers in the U.S. Army. Another 19,000 served in the Navy. Nearly 40,000 black soldiers died over the course of the war. During the Civil War, 25 African Americans earned the Medal of Honor during the American Civil War. That's when it first started, the Medal of Honor there. In 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation signed by President Lincoln freed the slaves in the southern states, and many chose to fight in the Union Army. The 13th Amendment, passed in 1864, outlawed slavery throughout the United States. It did not, however, grant rights to citizenship. It wasn't until 1868, the 14th Amendment, that the threat of removal from the United States was lifted, which granted citizenship to all persons born or naturalized in this country, including former slaves.
What I'm saying is,
those faithful black soldiers went to war not even yet guaranteed of their free citizenship. And they volunteered. And they went, giving their lives in hopes that perhaps soon thereafter they saw the light with the Emancipation Proclamation and said, we hope it's coming. And we're willing to die for it. They weren't even guaranteed it yet. Wasn't until 3 years after the Civil War that they were guaranteed that freedom. You know, the moment you got saved, God made you a citizen of His kingdom with all the full rights. With all the full rights. When we go to battle, we go with full citizenship. Our citizenship's in heaven. Amen? Amen. And we have all the privileges of a born-again, redeemed one as we go forth to enjoy all the promises to be free. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. John 8:32, and you know she'll know the truth. And folks, the truth shall make you what? Free. Free from what? Free from sin. See, before we got saved, what? We were in bondage to sin. And sin was not only going to bring about our physical death one day, and it still will do that, but it was destroying the life that we were living. And when you got saved, folks, God put a girdle around you that freed you of those things. Yeah. And now you don't have to be, I don't have to be bound to that sin anymore. I'm glad that I don't do the things that I used to do. And I don't say the things that I used to say. And that's because He put His Spirit in me the day I got born again. And He made me a citizen of heaven. And He said, I'm going to change you, son. And I'm thankful that He's changed me, and I'm thankful He's not done yet, folks. He's not done changing me. And by the way, you're here this morning saved. He's not done with you yet either, amen? We're citizens with those full rights and that blessed Spirit freeing us from the bondage of sin. We are freed from the enslaving service of sin. What? Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We are free that we may willingly go out and serve God and others. Getting that truth out. Having, unlike the blacks in the Civil War, they did that not yet having their citizenship guaranteed. How much more should we go out, amen? Having our citizenship already guaranteed and established. And God telling us, oh, by the way, if you've been born again, you're going to be in heaven. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Never! That passage contains six negatives, I believe, is in the Greek. Never, 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 never. And never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And we have that blessed truth, that freedom that we're born again. Romans 6:22, being now made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What a blessing. And so what ought we to do? We ought to gird ourselves up, amen. We ought to get those old grave clothes and that old sin out of the way and out of our lives. Why? Because it destroys us and it trips us up and it binds us up. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. God says, I've saved you, and you are not citizens of this planet any longer. I'm a citizen of the United States, but I'm a citizen of the United States second. First, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's my home. And God says, because you're here, your home, because your home is there, your home is not here. And you be faithful to my kingdom no matter what these kingdoms do down here. By the way, every Christian ought to be a good citizen in the country he lives, no matter where that is. I just believe we live in the best country to live in, especially as far as living and propagating the gospel, having the opportunity to do that. Jude 1:3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you to exhort you. You should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Back then it was starting to slip away. Well, we've seen that in the study of Galatians, haven't we? They were starting to slip away to the Judaizers. Remember that? Well, there's got to be some works involved there. You don't know how many times we hear that on visitation. If you're telling, let me ask you this. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, let me ask you this. If you were to die today, and God's not going to say this, but if you were to die today and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? Now, why do we ask a question like that? Because we don't know their hearts until they answer the question. Then they tell us what's in their heart. If you were to say to God, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Oh, well, I've been going to church. Oh, well, I've been baptized. They're showing us what they're trusting in. And then we can tell them the truth, amen? Now, the Bible says we can't trust in any works. No works can save us. We must trust in Jesus Christ alone. Must trust, because those works aren't perfect. Only Jesus were. We got to trust in a perfect, sure foundation, amen, to get us into heaven through faith in Christ alone. So we spread this gospel message where we share it to all. We're very clear about it. We speak the truth what? In love. We speak the truth to all. Ephesians 4:15, we are to be speaking the truth in love. May grow up into him in all things. We speak the truth to everyone. Ephesians 4:25, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. All that are around us, our neighbors, we speak the truth. Truth is for our freedom. Lay aside the sin. Share the truth with others. And by the way, be truthful with yourself. We speak that we need to, if we're going to be used of God to speak the truth to others, folks, we need to learn to speak the truth to ourselves and to receive it ourselves. Joshua 24. Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. You know, more important that you came in that door here this morning. You know what's more important than that? Why you came in. Why you came in. You see, there are many people that walk in the door of a church that don't really want to be there. And as a matter of fact, in that case, they're not as right with God as somebody who wanted to be there but couldn't. See that? Why? Because God looks down in the deep part, doesn't he? He's looking for that sincerity. Be honest with ourselves. Be honest with ourselves. Serve in sincerity and truth, Joshua says. Put away false gods. And that's what we need to do in our lives. Paul, finishing this letter in Ephesians, says in verse 24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. From the heart. Truthfully. I like what David wrote in Psalm 15. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Who's going to be close to you as a servant God's? What he's really saying. Verse 2 goes on. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. See, we can know if we're right with God. And we know where we're not. And we can know where we're not, thankfully. Amen. And God says, be truthful with yourself. Truth. is for our freedom in the fight. And then finally, truth is for our future. Truth is for our future in the fight. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now the loins in the Hebrew was the place where the Hebrews thought the genitive power resided. The Bible says that Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham gave Melchizedek the offering. God told David that the king that would come from his loins would rule. Messiah would come. Solomon would come. And so they looked at it as the place of that power and that generative power, the offspring coming, the future. Loins has the idea of our strength in the Bible, the idea of the future. And folks, if we lose the truth, what future do we have? If we step out and start walking on thin ice, what good's that do? We're not on a firm foundation. We need to be on a firm foundation. 1 Corinthians 14:19, Paul writes this. He talked about speaking in tongues and all that. He says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, five words of good solid truth, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Some people, they like that mystical thing. Go into some of these Pentecostal churches and they're all babbling and they're all using their tongues, by the way, contrary to the truth. And if it's contrary to the truth, who's the author of it? The devil. The devil is. Contrary to the truth. I'd rather speak five words, Paul says, sound in your word, than 1,000 words in an unknown tongue. Because that's how important the foundation is. I'd rather do this, that I might teach others also. See that? Because he knows those that would learn what? They need that truth to hang on to. Those coming need that. We must preserve the truth for future generations. We must preserve the truth because, listen, it's the truth that preserves us. Listen to Psalm 40 in verses 10 and 11. The psalmist writes, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I had declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. I've not withheld your message from the world, God. I've shared it in love. And he goes on, Psalm 40, verse 11, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Here it is. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Preserve me. You know what my hope is? To be a good father to my children. To be a good husband to my wife. To be a good grandfather to my grandchildren. To be a good pastor to this church. It's nothing but this right here, this truth. You see, as I walk in this truth, that's parallel to how well I'll do in everything else. To how much God will use me and work through me, and this for you as well, in every calling of life. Our failure, our usefulness, it's dependent upon what? We want to preserve the truth because the truth preserves us. In that we stay strong. That which we're sharing is what makes us strong. That which we put forth, hopefully faithfully, is that which makes us faithful. You see? The future, the truth. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I like that. Get that foundation of truth. Our daughter actually shared us an insight on that from her devotions that I've meditated on since then. You can take this fourth verse and study it. I think it's a good one. She said this. You know what I think that saying? Here's what she said. I don't think it's guaranteeing that your children are going to come back to God. And if you taught them right, every one of them in their old age will come back to God. You'd probably find some situations where you can't explain if that would be the case. And what she said is, what I think it is God won't let them forget it.
Amen.
When they get older, they may run the way that they want to run. They may run the wrong way sometimes, but that voice is still going to be there. You're going the wrong way. You are not walking in the truth. God loves you. And that voice, folks, aren't you glad? Don't you want to shout hallelujah? That voice won't leave him. Whew, that's exciting. That is exciting. But that voice will stay with him, speaking to him, drawing him, working on him. Oh, thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. That truth for the future. And it's to be kept and sent forth by the church. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, we talked about standing on that firm, but having that firm footing. That's that ground. But that pillar, what? The pillar holds up the rest of the building. The pillar is what's held forth. See? And the truth, we can only put forth something that's strong that people can hang on to, what? If we are standing on the truth and putting forth the truth. Philippians 2:15-16, Paul speaks to the church there. He wants them to be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Then he goes on to say in Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What's he say? See, I want you standing on it. I want you walking in it. And I want you holding it forth. And when you do that, the church that does that will be a pillar and ground of the truth. Because folks, there's not a time. There's not a time when our country needs the truth more than right now. More than right now. We've never seen a turning away from the truth the way our country has in the past couple years. We need to pray for our leaders. And we need to speak the truth. We pray for our country. Because our country is not an exception under God's disciplines. And we need to be praying for truth and holding it forth. I often speak and preach a message, and I will again come election time. The believer, the Bible, the believer, the Bible, and the ballot. If we don't vote according to this book, what hope do we have? We need to vote according to this book. We have some people now that want to kill babies after they're out of the womb. And I fear for our country because of that. I fear for our country because of that. And we need to pray. We need to be holding forth this truth for the future. Which is to be kept by the church. And folks, the church may not keep it perfectly. It needs to be kept by the pillar of the church, the truth does. It will be kept by the person of Christ. That's for sure. In 2 John 1, John writes, John the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. And folks, when he comes in that millennium, he is going to reign to rule the world in righteousness. And if we have let some truth slip, we're going to find out what truths we've let slip. Amen. Because he's going to bring them back. And they will be practice and law. And we need to be holding them forth by faith now as best we can. I close with an illustration and regarding mountain climbing. Miriam will appreciate this. When you're mountain climbing, you need an anchor. And you don't push the anchor into the sand. You put the anchor into the rock, right? Unmovable. And as you're climbing, you have those anchors that you're putting in. You put your foot on one, you put on the other. But that's not enough. You see, you've got to put one out ahead of you. Don't you? So you need to be standing on what's underneath you and putting in firmly something above you, don't you? If you're going to get to the top, don't you? That's the picture we're getting here with this. Standing on that firm foundation and putting the stake in for the next step up. That taking that same firm foundation and putting it up here. So that what? So that we can go on. I'll talk with Miriam a bit if it's okay with her. And ask her a couple questions. Have you ever used it? She used the stakes for climbing like that? Yeah. And I'll ask her this. Have you ever climbed in a place where somebody already put them there and there was some already there?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's yourself that you have to do.
Let me ask you this. Which one was easier?
Those that are left.
Yeah. You see, when somebody's put them there before us, it makes the way easier for us. Amen. And when we put them down solid for our next generation, it makes the climb easier for them. See, and that's what we got to do as believers. Remain faithful to this book, faithful to this truth. It's the foundation of everything that follows in this passage here and in our Christian lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. And I thank you for the believers who were anchored in the truth, who helped me in my life when I needed to realize that I was trusting in lies. And I met some people who were redeemed, and they had an anchor in their life, and they were walking in the truth and the firm foundation of the Word of God. And thankfully, they shared that with me and showed me and spoke to me the truth in love. And Father, I believe it's the heart of us here in this church to want to walk in the foundations of your word and to speak the truth in love, God. And I pray that we would examine our lives, because we need to be truthful with ourselves. We need to put the sins away. We need to put the love of the world away. We need to recognize the day that we're in and to walk on the firm foundations of the Word of God, to draw closer and closer and become more like our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to be looking earnestly and longingly for His return and coming, and yet to realize that one could yet be saved. We can pray for others and not give up. We can share the gospel. He gives us opportunities. We can put away sin. and the things that do so easily beset us and the weights. And we can run our race and become more like Jesus Christ and be shining as lights in a crooked and perverse nation among whom we may shine as lights in this world. Oh, Father, we do pray for our country, for revival. We pray for leaders and Christians in leading positions in our government, that you would give them voice and courage to speak. And Father, we pray especially that Christians would realize that we need to vote according to the Bible, to live according to the Bible, to be the citizens the Bible would want us to be. And God, in so doing, we will be preserving the truth. And we can't make someone else believe the truth, God, but we must. We each must. And we must put it forth to them, give them the opportunity to believe and know what is true. And God, to stand firmly upon that and keep putting it forth. Help us in that, dear God, we pray. We may hear thy words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Father, we be so thankful. We may enter into your presence with joy. And with that fullness of joy and that full entrance. And so, Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.